Thanks for listening to audio from North Monroe. To learn more about who we are, visit northmonroe.com or download the North Monroe app in the App Store or on Google Play. Now, here's this week's message.
Ooh, man. Hey, everybody, just look at those windows. Look at that light out there. Isn't it awesome? Give Jesus a hand. He's the light. Thank you, musicians and singers. That lifted me up. I mean, I had my right rotator cuff repaired July the 31st. Couldn't lift up, but I got my left hand up there. And for an old fella to do that, you know, above the shoulder. Listen, it is so good to be with you, and it is good to see the light because this COVID stuff has driven me crazy. How about you? I mean, I love my wife, Lori, my little honey love, my sugar babe, my woman. She's a brunette right now. About every 3 weeks, God does a miracle on her hair, and I pay for the miracle. Except during the COVID, she had to go through the whole COVID without the miracle. And I don't know how to say this. I know she's watching on the Facebook. Love you, baby. Love you. This is just all for the Lord, honey. I'm using this for the Lord. But during the COVID, she couldn't get her hair done. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't light, but it was white. And it was a big white streak right down there. We're talking roots, people. We're talking roots. And she's 5 foot tall. I'm 6 foot. So I look down. I see these roots. I just thought we were making a new movie on roots. But she finally got her hair done. And oh, she was so happy. And so I used to dye my hair, believe it or not. But because of the COVID, I let it go. So I'm just white, bright, and spiked. You know, we do the best you can when you're 67, trying to make people think you're 59. You didn't think I was that old, did you, honey? Look at you. Just like, you look younger than that. Oh, thank you. Thank you, man. Liar, liar. But we love you. You know, I don't know about y'all, but during the COVID, man, you know, me and Laurie, I mean, we were together more than we've ever been. We've been married 41 years. And we've never been together that much. I mean, we're all the time. You know, and I like to sit in my recliner and chill out. A man needs a recliner. Men, bow up and get you a recliner with a stick on the side. The kind that you grab it and poof, pop that thing open. Be a man. But Laurie, she doesn't like that kind. I don't like that kind. I don't like a stick on the side. I went, good night. Her people more well-to-do. My people, we all had the stick. You pop that thing. And we have two of them. I said, baby, listen. I've got one. You've got one. Come sit with me, babe. And mine doesn't have a stick. It does everything, but without the stick. But I've told her, if you die before me, right after you die, I'm going to go buy me a recliner with a stick on the side. Lazy boy, just pop that thing and look up to heaven and go, I love you, baby. But anyhow, I just felt I needed to share that testimony. We have two, and I sit there in mine. During the COVID, I can sit forever and watch television because it gives me time to think, new material, you know. Can't go anywhere, speak anywhere, so I'm sitting there. And I said, baby, come sit with me. Come sit with your man. You know, you hunk. Come sit with your man. And she goes, honey, you know, I wish I could. Come sit and talk to me. We can open up and share. And she stood there and said, you know, if I had more help, maybe I could sit and talk. I said, well, hire somebody. And that went over. That's where that went. But I'd watch, you know, during the COVID, I'd watch the old people's channel, you know, where I watch Gunsmoke, Andy Griffith. And I love all those guys. You know, I love my John Wayne movies. I'd watch John Wayne, watch the Duke. Yeah, he's my hero. But he's gone. I'd watch a Jimmy Stewart movie, and that went right over most of y'all's heads right there. But I'd watch Barney Fife, Andy Griffith Show, old Don Knotts. Has anybody seen Thelma? You know, I'd watch it over and over and over. I mean, I watched all those shows, and, you know, I just loved it. But, you know, they're all dead. They're all dead. Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, he's dead. Hey, Bill Clinton, I'm not dead yet. Okay, all right. But all these guys, everybody dies, and, you know, I'm sort of going through this COVID thing. My friends have gotten it. Some have lost some of my friends and what have you, and going through all this stuff. You start looking at your own mortality, sort of wondering, you know, what's going to happen. And I got to thinking, you know, about, man, when's my day up? When's my time coming, you know? Because it is coming. My sermon today is this. What do you do if you only have 15 years to live? What do you do if you only got 15? Now, some of you, you're pretty young, and so you're thinking, well, I'll not worry about that the first five. Maybe the last 10, I'll worry about it. You know, right now, I'm just going to keep on doing like I'm doing. Well, fine. But if you're a little bit older, say you're like my age, 67, you go 15 more years. Ooh, you know, that's time goes by fast. It goes faster than what you think. And what if you have 15 years left? If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Kings chapter 20. Here's a guy, Hezekiah. He was a great king. He was good. You know, he was a good one. And he was a faithful, and he was so faithful. Matter of fact, there's more written about Hezekiah in the Bible than David. Hezekiah was a good king. He was good all the way through. And then all of a sudden, one day in chapter 20, 2 Kings chapter 20, all of a sudden something happens. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. He got sick. And the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you are going to die and you're not going to recover." Whoa. I mean, everything is going good, and then all of a sudden something like that come. You know, the reality is that just doesn't come to older people. Sometimes it comes to young people. You just never know. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And we don't always know what the timeline is going to be for any of us or all of us. We don't like to think about dying. We like gospel music, quartet music, maybe when we go to older, when they're singing about heaven all the time, because we know we're getting closer and closer to heaven. But the reality is all of us, it's going to happen. Well, all of a sudden the word came and he said, "Hezekiah, get your house in order. You're going to die. You're going to die." And then he goes on. So when he heard that, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And then Hezekiah wept bitterly. Hezekiah, when he heard he was dying, when the prophet told him, "You're going to die, get your house in order," he prayed, and then he wept. He cried. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, there's a lot of tough people here. There's tough people. I've met a lot of tough folks. But sometimes when you face your mortality, things change a little bit. What if all of a sudden you find out you got 15 years to live? And the reason he knew he had 15 years to live was because right after that, Isaiah, you know, God spoke to Isaiah and said, "Isaiah, tell him I just saw his prayer. I saw his tears. I heard his prayer. I saw his tears. Tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years to live." That's right in there. You go back and you read it. Wow. He's going to get 15 years. He couldn't believe it. He said, "Are you serious?" He said, "I'm serious." He says, "I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to make, instead of the shadow going up the steps, you know, 10 steps, I'm going to make it go backwards. I'm going to handle the sun and the shadows just to prove, because you want to have a sign, you're going to live 15 more years." Awesome. All of a sudden, Hezekiah, from praying and crying that he's going to die, all of a sudden he's got 15 more years. Have you ever experienced anything like that? Most of us haven't. Some of you may have. Some of you may have gotten a lease on life. You had cancer, you dealt with it, you're still alive, you're still with us. How long? Who knows? God giving you a period of time. But the bottom line is we will all die. But let me tell you how this sort of came to me. And let me give you a little bit of my testimony here before I get into my confessions. Here's the deal. It was about 10 years ago. We were living here, and I've got my two boys, Chad and Dustin. Chad's going to be 39. Dustin's is 35. Love my boys. My boys, they've had their challenges. They've had their bumps in the road. Have you? How about you? Everybody perfect in here? Well, my boys weren't perfect. Some of you know my boys. You know they're not perfect. As a matter of fact, some of you, hello, I see you even sinned with my sons. You know, y'all are a tandem team out there together. Well, I love my boys. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what my boys have ever done, or will do. I love my boys. Isn't that something, how you love your kids? Doesn't mean you approve of everything, but you love them. I love my boys. I'm proud. I'm proud of my boys. But about 10 years ago, Dustin was going through a tough time, finding his way, you know, going through some steps in his life. You know, you've heard of 12 steps. There's all kinds of steps that sometimes God has us go through. And I was praying for him that he would get through that tough time. Dustin is the kind of guy that if he sins, he's going to get caught. Dustin always got caught. He got caught at school. If he sins, he's going to get caught. Chad is pretty smart. He doesn't get caught right off the bat. Chad takes a while to catch old Chad. He's pretty good center. Dustin just rough on the edges. They catch him right off the bat. Well, during that time, man, I was praying for my boys. You know, sometimes there's pivotal times in your life, turning points, tipping points in your life. And that was one back then, 10 years. There's been more since. But back then, I'll always remember. And so, you know, I'd go see Dr. Anders. Dr. Anders was my doctor. You know, he took care of me. Then sometimes he'd send me to a specialist. And then, as a man, I had to go see my prostate doctor, you know. So I have to go there and get examined. Men, as you get older, you got to, you know, have them check your prostate. And some of you youngers don't know what that is. Well, Google it or talk to Grandpa about it. But the bottom line is, so I go to this specialist and everything, and so I'm going to be examined. And as soon as I finish, I'm going to get in my truck. I got to hit the road. I got to catch a plane. I got to go speak for 21 days. So, you know, I'm going, all right, hurry up and get this done. So I go in there. I thought it won't be no big deal. You know, I'll get in there. I'll leave. And all of a sudden, when I got in there and the doctor is examining me, when he finished, he looked at me. He said, Swan, you have a tumor on your prostate, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. He even tried to draw me a picture. I didn't need the picture. You know, it's just startling enough when he said, you have a tumor. You know, a tumor. Now, everyone one day will face their mortality. And when it happens, it's amazing. He said, I don't like it. We need to follow up. We need to do all this, do this, do this, do this. And I understand that most guys, if they have prostate trouble, that ain't going to kill them. Something else will kill them. But on the other hand, when something like that happens and all of a sudden, you know, the cancer word or this or that, just like now, you know, I've lived a couple years. A doctor says I've got a growth on my neck and I've got a little cyst or thing right on my spine and my neck. And he said, it looks cancerous, but we're just going to watch it. I said, well, can't you do something and find out? If he said, we're just going to watch it. So we've watched it for 2 years. Well, you live with that. You know, I mean, it just, you get a little older, you live with more stuff. But when he told me that, I don't know, it just got to me. I got out there into my truck, and I'll tell you what I did. I got in my truck, and I think I did them at the same time. I prayed and I cried in my truck like a little boy. And I said, God, I don't know if this is serious or not. Doctor doesn't like it, but you know what, Doc? Oh, Dusty, he needs me. He needs me. I know he loves me. And he's out there in California. And I don't want Laurie to have to handle all this stuff herself, you know. So you got to do something. And I said, oh, Chad, I know there's stuff in his life and deal. I need to be around for him. You know, if you're a dad, you're a provider, you're a protector. You want to take care of your kids. You want to take care of your loved ones. So I said, so I'm asking you, God, would you give me 15 more years. That's what I asked him. Give me 15. Well, that's the deal. From my point of view, and you know what? Old Dusty, now it's Dustin. He's married. Brittany's awesome. Oh, thank God for Brittany. Oh, And I have my little grandson, Andrew James Floyd. My daddy's name was Floyd. They put Floyd in there. But with millennials, you don't say anything. You just fake it for Jesus. You go, great. Andrew James Floyd. You know, my first thought was when they told me that, will that fit on a birth certificate? But you don't say anything. Then we have Maxine. Maxine. We love little Max. She's 7 months old. We call her Max. Little Maxine. She just, you know, she doesn't have enough hair yet, so we just put those bows around her, you know, to hide the hair that ain't there. We love Maxine. And they have a little home, and they love Jesus. And Chad, he's on a good path. He works with us, and he started coaching again. Some of you guys out there, Chad coached you when you were at OCS in junior high. Well, he's had quite a few years where he hasn't coached. This year, he's coaching. They won district. And there's just a joy about him on his face. I just, so thankful for my boys. And my little wife, Lori, bless her heart. She had her right knee replaced September the 2nd, had her left knee done November 11th. And you're saying, what are you doing here? Because we've been together a bunch. I mean, I love her, but And you know, she's glad I'm here. But I'll be going home Wednesday. I love my wife. She's a good woman. And she's strong. And I said, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in these days in my boys' lives and my wife's life and my two grandkids. And I get it. I got 4 more years. When I'm 71, I'm ready to check it out. Now, you and I both know from the Word of God that if he could take me home this afternoon if I turn in front of that 18-wheeler. He can take me home whenever he wants to. I know that sometimes one day is like 1,000 days, and sometimes 1,000 days is like one day. And I can hang around till I'm 90-something. I don't want to hang around till I'm 90-something because I know I'll start losing it. I got to tell you this. I was doing a senior adult thing a while back, had like 600 senior adults. And there's these two guys sitting over in the lobby that were like 95. They had to be 95-ish or something. I went over there and stood behind them because I thought I could get me some new material, you know, for a new DVD or a new CD or a new thumb drive. So I went over there and I stood behind him, and sure enough, I got solid gold. One guy, he goes to the other, he went, Lester, Lester. And his buddy went, yeah, Lester. And then he said this, Lester, was it you, or was it your brother that was killed in World War II? Look at Kenneth over there dealing with these children all the time. Hey, your hair's looking good. I don't know what you're using, but it works, all right? Here's the deal. I got to confess. Here's confession number one. I'm getting older. Those of you that have known me a while, you can look and you can see it is happening. Y'all going to drive home today going, he looked bad, didn't he, honey? He looked bad. And then, or your wife may be Christian and go, at least he's trying to do something with his hair. We're getting older. You know, Warren and I are getting older. Warren and I have known each other 41 years, way back to our seminary days. You know, he called me yesterday. Warren is good to call, isn't he? Especially if you're a little late on your tithe check. But some of you new members, I'm just messing with you. He ain't going to call me, is he? I'm just messing with you. But anyhow, he called yesterday. He's good to call. And he said, Swan, do you need anything for tomorrow at church? I said, no, man, I'm good. And he said, I saw your sermon title, you know, what what do you do if you only have 15 years to live? I said, yeah. He said, sort of a downer. I said, well, that's just sort of what I feel led to do. He said, all right. Well, then old Warren sort of surprised me. He said, Swan, would you assist in my funeral? I said, I'd be glad to. I said, do you want me to do a $100 funeral or a $500 funeral? And old Warren, you know Warren, he said, well, what's the difference? I said, $400. and you know Warren, he's going with the $100 one. I'm getting older, and confession two, I'm going to die. We're all going to die in this room. It's going to happen. But here's confession three. I'm getting grace. When you look at verse 4 and 6, God gave him grace. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a little longer. I'm going to tell you what, we get more than what we deserve. If we got what we would deserve, we would all be in bad shape. Bad, bad shape. Some people, I've even had people, my book back there, over there called No More Secrets. It's a real open about my family, my wife's family, my family, our family, our boys. Chad wrote the epilogue at the back. We're a little bit vulnerable, but we want to help people that are hurting, you know. We want people to be liberated. For however many years you've got to live, live. You know, you can hold a beach ball underneath the water a long time, but eventually it's going to come up and pop you in the face. Why not let the air out of it? You know, let the air out of it. One thing I'm so excited about your church is your men's ministry. I know you got a bunch of ministries, but just men's ministry. Man, your men's ministry. You young guys, some of y'all getting up 4 or 5 in the morning to have men's group together at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. Good night. Bill was telling me about it. I said, are you going? He said, no, man, I ain't that young. I got the COVID. That just thrills me. I've got a new book. I was telling Matt, I got a new book that's coming out hopefully by Christmas for men. It's 52 weeks, a devotional book for men, entitled Breakfast, Bible, and Bull. Because that's what we do. We have breakfast, we have Bible, and we shoot the bull. And, you know, these book people go, well, you don't want to put that on the cover. Well, good. I'm producing it myself. We men need men, and we need the Word, and we need each other, and we need encouragement for whatever years we got. We need buddies. We need to keep on keeping on, and we need to appropriate the grace of God that He's given to all of us, men, women, young people. I mean, to do it, to let His light shine in and let Him fill us with His light so that men might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. He's given us grace. He's given me grace. He's given my boys grace. More grace, more grace. And He will continue to give the grace we need. For by our faith, through His grace, that we're saved and that we live. The grace that will save you is the grace that will see you through. If it's 15 years, 4 more years, or 50 more years, 60 more years, 70 more years. We get His grace. We've been given a mission. Confession number 4. He's given all of us a mission. He gave Hezekiah mission. You're a good leader of the people. You keep leading. You keep serving. Keep doing what you've been doing. Don't get tired of doing good. Don't grow weary of doing good. Dwell on that which is good and don't grow weary of it. Keep on being faithful. Keep on being faithful. And in the midst of that mission, you need to stay strong. You're going to be tempted. You know, as soon as God does something in your life or my life, it's like Satan wants to, he wants to move in. He moves in on the good times. I mean, if you have a victory, if you have a win, if everything's going perfect, it was a great day, it was a perfect party, I feel good. All of a sudden, he wants to sneak in. He wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to rob you of God's best. He's going to offer you an alternative, even when God has given you more grace than you've ever received before. Right after Hezekiah finds out that he's going to live 15 more years, God told Isaiah to take a poultice of figs, put it on that boil that he had somewhere on his body that was going to kill him. And by the way, that go to the doctor. You know, God heals and God says, I'm going to heal you. And then he says, but go to the Go put a poultice of figs on it. Go ahead and take the chemo. Go ahead and do what you have to do so that you can keep on serving. Go through the process. In the midst of all that, here comes Babylon, the leaders of Babylon, the enemy. They come and they send him presents. They send him letters. They come and they're with him and they say, "Hey, man, we heard you. You're getting another 15 years to live. Man, we're so happy for you." The enemy, beware the enemy. And the Bible says that all of a sudden Hezekiah, in that moment, showed them everything in the treasury. Now, what does that mean? He showed them his armory. He showed them his gold, his bronze. He showed them all of the armaments that they had. He showed them every possession that he had that was passed on to him from other kings years past. And he showed them all. You don't show the enemy everything you have. Jesus said, you don't cast your pearls before swine. We got to be careful of with kingdom things of what he's given us and hold them precious and dear. But Hezekiah, in a moment, and he's a good guy. He's a good king. But at the moment, he just showed them everything. You know, the United States of America, we show the world what we got. We tell them when we're coming. We show them the planes. We show them the this and that, our troops. You know, I mean, you know, Fort Knox. I wouldn't be surprised if someday we don't say, "Hey, everybody come that wants to and come on into Fort Knox. We're going to show you how much gold we actually have or don't have. We're going to show you everything we got. Come on in. Let me show you all the security we got. Let me show you our software and show you this and show you that." It's amazing the mindset that when you all of a sudden you've been so blessed that all of a sudden you let your guard down. And he let his guard down. And that he showed him everything. And when he did that, God spoke to Isaiah to tell Hezekiah this, "I am not happy." And Hezekiah, because of this, you need to know that there will be a day when all the treasures are gone. And you need to know that the sons of your sons of your sons will one day be in the presence of the king of Babylon and be his servants. You know when that happened? 100 years later. Well, that's 100 years from now. He didn't know that, but it was 100 years. When you read Daniel chapter 1, you see it was true. King Nebuchadnezzar had all the possessions of God's people and God's kingdom. And all the young men that were talented and sharp looking and just the cream of the crop were all there to serve Nebuchadnezzar. Some called them eunuchs because they were eunuchs. All just there to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. Prophecy came true 100 years later. Now here's the good news and the mercy and the grace of God. Out of those young men that were there with Nebuchadnezzar, there to serve him, the best of the best, there was one man there named Daniel. There were three other guys that had received the name Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And thank God for those four. Matter of fact, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know the story when they were in the fiery furnace and they looked in, they saw a fourth man as likened unto the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. Hello. Our God is good and our God is gracious. But we need to understand that there are consequences to your sin and my sin. And so that these days count. And I told the 815 group, because they're more my age, and even the middle service, especially us older folks, if you're in here, listen to me. What you do at the end and what I do at the end is so important. And our response. When Hezekiah found out that he's going to lose, that it was all going to be gone, he said, in verse 19, he said, "But let me ask you this." He said, "This message you have given me from the Lord is good." For the king was thinking, "At least there will be peace and security during my lifetime." In other words, in Swanberg translation, as long as all this doesn't happen in my life. As long as they take all the plunder and all of our stuff and all of my sons, as long as it's later on and not in my life. You know, the biggest temptation for me and my bunch is, you know what? I want to make sure I have security. I want to make sure I have retirement. I want to make sure I have my health care. And as long as me and my sugar babe, we're fine. As long as we can go out to eat at Piccadilly. As long as we can do our little thing and do our little takeout at Catfish Charlie's. I miss Catfish Charlie's. And warehouse and what waterfront and all the other little places. As long as we've got our stuff, as long as we're good, fine. The rest of the world can go, well, you know where. And it's too bad when we have that attitude as senior saints. We cannot live like that. So here, my final confession is this, confession number 5. I'm given 2 options. I can live for myself or I can live for others. And the biggest temptation for someone my age and older is we're thinking about us all the time. Well, my shoulder's not right. Had to have surgery. I've had knee replacement. I had this. I got to take a pill, you know, at 5:30 for restless leg. I got my CPAP machine on at night. Just shh, 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 shh. Your day's coming, buddy. One day you'll be strapping on. I'm telling you, you just some of you kids don't know what I'm talking about. Just go see grandma and grandpa and visit, spend the night with them. And when they go to bed, after they're gone to sleep, you know, walk in their bedroom, both of them are just look like Darth Vader. I take a pill for this. I take a pill for that. I take a pill for this. I take a pill for that. I take a pill when I get up in the morning. I take my pills. I got my pills. I do not drink. I just do drugs. And most of my thoughts are about me. I fight it. You know who my thoughts need to be about? The Lord and about my boys and Andrew, James, AJ, and Maxine, their future. I want to do all in my power to give them a godly witness, to pray for them, to be involved. I need to stay spiritually sharp. I need to keep reading the Word. I need to read through the Bible every year. I need to read in addition to that. I need to be strong in the Lord Jesus. I need to show them a witness. I need to show them the joy of the Lord. I need to love my wife, my little sugar babe, my honey, love my woman. And right now it ain't easy. I just got one good arm. She got both bad knees. I mean, I stood over the other day and she's in bed. She's hurting. Oh. And I'm trying to put ice around her with one arm. Finally, I thought about doing the old Karate Kid. I just stopped right there. I said, hold on. I looked at her and I just went. Like old Miyagi do. Put on her knee and just went. And it didn't do anything. But anyhow. But she laughed a little. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about others. These kids that are here, these young people, these teenagers, it's about them. And they're watching us. They're watching you, mom and dad. They know how much you love each other. They're not idiots. They know how much Jesus means to you. It's very evident. May we be all that God wants us to be. I know what some of y'all are going to do. It's time to close. I'm getting hungry. It's good night. It's 12:03. Some of y'all are going to write down in your journal, Brother Dennis preached today, and his time ought to be up in about 4 years. I'm just going to sort of make a little mental tab on it, see if the boy sure enough died. He said he was going to die when he was 71. Who knows? I may live to be 100. The biggest question to ask about me is, am I living for others? That's the bottom line. All this is beautiful. I've known people that gave to this that are with Jesus now. Their light still shines in here, doesn't it? Revelation 14:13, blessed are they that die in the Lord, their works follow after them. It may be said of you and me, whether we have 15 years or 15 months, or whatever it may be, may God be honored by our witness. Not being selfish, but thinking about others. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We're thankful for Hezekiah. Thank you for the grace you administered to him. You said that eventually he died and he was placed in the grave with the other kings that ruled. You even talked about the many good things he did. He was a good man. But a good man reminds us to always think of others. In Jesus' name, we ask for that and pray for that. Amen.
Our hope is that this message has encouraged you to seek Christ in your own life and make him known wherever you are. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and share it with a friend. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.